Excuse me, I'd like to inform all participants today's call is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Thank you. You may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the SEI meeting on Tuesday, 6th of August, 2013. On the call today, we have Ron Andrews, Angie Graves, Mikey O'Connor, Anne Eggman-Scalise, Avery Doria, Ken Bauer, and we have Eduard Morris and Nuno Garcia standing for Amar El-Sadr for the NCUC affiliation, and we have apologies from Jennifer Wolf and Amar El-Sadr. And from staff, we have Marika Konings, Julie Headland, and myself, Julia Chavelin. May I please remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you. This is Ron Andrew for the transcript. Question on statements of interest. If anyone has any change to their SOIs since we've last met in the last 4 weeks, now is the time to bring that forward, please. Hearing none, we'll mark for the record that there were no changes to the SOIs on the part of any committee members. Moving on to the approval of the agenda, I wonder if the committee will indulge me to allow us to perhaps look at the working group self-assessment so that Ken Bauer doesn't have to stay on the call while we work through the minutiae of all the other details. If we could move that up right after the approval of the agenda. And then I would also like to suggest that the SCI charter revision has 20 minutes in it. That still is out with the GNSO Council for more work, so I'm wondering if we may take a few minutes from that. There were a couple of new additional elements were brought forward at the wrap-up session, and I wondered if we could have Julie just go through kind of the genesis of those two issues that were noted in one of the emails that she sent through in the last couple of days. So if I don't have any violent disagreements against that...
Ron, it's Anne Aikman-Scalise. Did you say, with IPC, did you say shorten the agenda in relation to the charter or lengthen the amount of time in relation to the charter? I didn't really understand what you were...
What I wanted to do is move up the... Anne, thank you for clarifying that. I wanted to move up the working group self-assessment. We have 15 minutes for that. Start with that first so that we can go through any issues or questions we have. I think we'll pick up a few minutes there. And then let Ken go. And then I said, with regard to the SCI charter revision, there are 20 minutes. I'm hoping we'll pick up a few minutes from the working group self-assessment, and because the charter revision is still on the table of the council to, in terms of what's going to happen and what that charter is going to look like, I'm hoping we can take a few minutes from that to get clarification on the two new issues that were brought forward by Julie in her email from the wrap-up session.
Are you saying take it from the time that we're going to save by putting the working group survey first, or take it from the discussion of the charter?
Both.
Oh,
a little
okay.
Both.
Okay.
There's two new items that are on the, that are two new issues that have been brought forward. I have no idea what they mean, and I thought it would be very helpful for the committee to actually get a little background, and if Julie can give us that. So I don't see it being a lot of time, but I just want to add those two elements in. All right. So with that, if we could move then to the working group self-assessment. And Ken, you've been shepherding that, so why don't I give you the floor for a moment or two to bring us up to speed on where you are and how many have taken advantage of the work you've done. Please go ahead.
This is Ken speaking. Let's see. We have I've made a number of changes to the design based on comments received in the list, basically. And so I guess I would submit to you that we are on a near final version at this point. And as a result, I went ahead for the purposes of showing you what this would really look like if somebody were in a working group and were asked to actually perform a self-assessment. I put the whole questionnaire into Question Pro, which is an online survey tool. I provided the link to you guys for that. However, my timing could have been a lot better because I think you all were literally climbing onto airplanes heading to Durban at that very time. I had some hope that maybe just in the course of working your way around Durban that you might encourage one or two people that you know to go in there and just play around with the questionnaire. That does not look like it was able to happen. But here we are subsequent to Durban, and what I would like to have you guys do is make any sort of final comments on where we are with this survey tool. I gave Julie the link, if she has it. There it is. if anybody has not already seen this, the link is now in the chat log, and you can go right in. There's no password or user ID required as long as you have the link to the question, the actual questionnaire.
I'm sorry, Ken. I beg your pardon. Julie, when I click on that link, it takes me to a page to sign up. I don't know. Did others get that same?
Yeah, same here, Mike.
Yeah,
you can see here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So maybe we can get a better link. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I want to make sure we can all see what we're
speaking
about.
Let me just hang on a second because that's bizarre.
Sorry, guys. I'm having trouble with my Adobe Flash. We have a new system, and I'm not even in yet at all. So.
Oh, I know the problem. Hang on, it's my fault. Let me give you the correct link here. It's supposed to be. I basically copied the link from my login screen, but that's not the way you need to get to it. Is the link I just posted, which is seitestwg.questionpro.com, and that's what I put in the list. Those, because several of Mikey, Angie, Ron, and even Rob Hogarth have all gone in and taken a tour of. Some people actually went through and completed it all the way to the end, and others just read it and interacted with it a little bit and then let it go.
So, Ken, let me just tell for those that aren't on Adobe Connect, the site is SCITESTWG. So, SCITESTWG.questionpro. All one word, QUESTIONPRO.com. And back to you, Ken.
Right. And so if you, I don't know if you want to take time going through this on the call.
I would revert to, if you don't mind, I'd revert to Mikey, who knows this stuff really well. For my part, I thought it was, what you've got us to is excellent. You know, it's head and shoulders above where we were flailing around a month or two ago. So, Mikey, may I impose on you to give your thoughts?
Sure, this is Mikey. I'm sort of in the same place, Ken. You know, this is looking awfully good. I was sort of using the criteria, you know, would I be willing to unleash this against a real working group? I think the answer is yeah, I would. There was huge echo there for a minute. I don't know what was going on. Anyway, so, you know, if you want a working group to try it on, we could try it on the Thick Who Is gang. We're within months of being done now. And, you know, I think it's ready to go.
Thanks, Mikey. That's my point of view, too. I think it looks really good at this stage of the game. And if you're willing to bring it into your working group for a test, I think that would make a lot of sense. Any other thoughts?
This is Mikey again. You know, I don't know our process very well because I'm still a newbie. When we do something like this, do we run it by the council for them to put their thumbprint on?
This is Ken.
I'd be happy to do it, but I'm just not
there.
Sure that's the
Yeah. Go ahead, Ken, please. I think I hear you in the background.
Yeah, I wanted to comment on Mikey's comment there. Under normal circumstances, if we had this tool in and looking at the procedures that have been written, and I also call your attention that I have submitted to the list some recommended changes to the working group guidelines and other assorted documents and the charter template, and those are all now documented for your consideration, and then presumably we would finalize those. Now, what would normally happen is the council creates a charter for a working group. One of the checkboxes in that process will be, I want you to complete a self-assessment working group when you're done. That has never been formalized until this time, but it now should be and can be, and I've included updates so that could be done by a chartering organization, in this case, let's say the council. And so you say, well, why wouldn't they always do that? Well, it may be that after some 6 months or 8 months or some period of time, and we've done this a bunch of times, and the data is starting to look very common or nothing unusual is popping out, they may just say to some working group, you know what, you don't need to do a self-assessment. We're getting that feedback, and we're going to do it every third working group or every second working group, something like that. So I just wanted to make the provision available that you don't have to do it every single time. It's an optional item that a chartering group could do. But that would be the way to start it, Mikey, would be the chartering organization would tick the box and say, we want a self-assessment done. When the working group gets nearer or completes their work, staff would remind the chair that they have this item to do. That would trigger a task to someone like me to set up this Question Pro survey and the links, and then that would be delivered to the working group members. They would complete the survey. The administrator, in this case it might be me, would follow through and make sure that everybody had filled it out. And then when we declared that it had been done, we would produce some kind of summary analysis of what the data said. That would be distributed to the working group as well as to the chartering organization. So I just wanted to run through that quickly. In the test case, to do this the very first time, I don't think we have to do anything. We're still testing. And so asking your group to do this, I would characterize it as a real test, because, again, we still don't know how long it's going to take a person who's really filling it out. The two people that actually completed it took about 5 minutes, but I suspect they weren't really thinking through the questions. They were really just ticking the boxes to get through it. So let me stop there.
Thank you, Ken. Aubrey, I see you posted something in the chat that says needs to include non-chat.
It was just a note to Ken. I sent an email.
Oh.
I'm doing the survey while we're talking, so it was a note to Ken.
Very good. All right. I think for my part, Mikey, is your hand up? Please go ahead, Mikey.
Yeah, this is Mikey. You know, I don't know if Marika's really watching this call super close, but I kind of like the idea of doing a test. And, you know, what I'm thinking is that we could send this idea around the Thikua's working group list, giving people lots of opportunity to opt out and discourage us from this plan if they don't like it, and then frame it, as Ken was saying, as a test under the umbrella of the SCI rather than something sponsored by the chartering organization, because I think getting it up and down through council could take a while. But I'll leave it to sort of better minds than mine as to whether that's legal, but it seems like a useful next step. I certainly wouldn't be uncomfortable doing that. Maybe Marika's probably multitasking, but over the next couple of days, maybe we can touch bases and see what's cooking on that front. But anyway, I think the survey's great, Ken. I think you've done a fabulous job. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Mikey. I see Julie's hand is up.
Thanks, Ron. This is Julie Hedlund. Just very briefly, the SEI can indeed test this. When we developed the initial survey that we were working with, we did ask one of the working groups that had just finished their work, I forget now which one it was, but at any rate, we had them test it, and that led to a number of changes. And in fact, I think, Mikey, that was a group you were in, because I think that led to some of the questions that led us to getting Ken involved.
Thanks, Julie. The one thing you mentioned, Mikey, maybe circulate it and allow people to opt out. Was there some rationale? Are you just trying to be kind because the workload's heavy enough, or where were you coming from that point of view?
Well, the way this process is this is Mikey for the transcript. The way this process is supposed to work is it's included in the charter. So when a person signs up for a working group, they kind of know that this is coming. To the extent that there are any parts of this questionnaire that make people uncomfortable, I wouldn't want to make them feel like they had to complete it. And so I would want to surround that invitation with some words to that effect so that people didn't feel like they were being blindsided with a questionnaire. I don't find it particularly burdensome, but I wouldn't want to just force people to take it either. And so that's all I was meaning by that. Let's give people some wiggle room if they don't want to do it. I think that's fine.
Thank you. That's helpful. Ken, please, I see your hands up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to that point. I think it would be, helpful to give somebody the questionnaire to, and then let them decide if somebody didn't want to fill that out. Obviously, no one's going to be forced. But I also wanted to make it clear, and the instructions say this in the actual survey. If there's any question that you don't feel comfortable answering or don't have any information to submit, there's a skip provision in every question except the ones that deal with identification and the demographic questions.
Excellent. So, Marika, please go ahead.
This is Marika. I think I should just to echo what Mikey said, because indeed in the charter there is a provision for working group self-assessment, but so far we actually haven't really filled in anything there because we didn't really have a mechanism. So something you may want to consider is once you really feel comfortable with the survey, and I think indeed having maybe another test run, as this is quite a revamped version of the initial one where we did a test run on. Once you really feel comfortable with the survey, you may want to recommend to the GNSO Council that from now onwards, and it may even include a modification of existing charters, that working groups are required or encouraged or whatever way you want to frame it, to actually do this at the point where they submit their final report to the Council, that is the trigger point for sending around the self-assessment. And that may be done by staff or maybe the chair, but it may be creating indeed this formal mechanism whereby the Council endorses or recognizes that this is now a required step of working group processes, so it automatically then feeds into the chartering process as well.
Thanks, Marika. So then why don't we do this? Mikey, are you the chair right now of that, or one of the co-chairs of the PDP?
This is Mikey. Yeah, I'm the chair of the THICWIS.
Perfect. THICWIS, I beg your pardon. I guess I made a wrong note. Why don't we do this? I'll send you a note. Send you a official statement from the SCI to the working group saying we've just finished working on developing this. We'd be very grateful if you would offer to your working group to go through it. And that way there will be a clean handover to you, and then you can submit it, circulate it to your working group. Would that make sense?
This is Mikey again. Sure, that would be fine.
Great. So, Ken, can I impose upon you to perhaps draft that just a short note so it includes the salient points you've just brought up, and we can send that over to if you send it to me, then I can submit it to Mikey with a copy to the SCI list. I see your hand is up, Ken. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thank you, Ron. This is Ken. Yes, absolutely. That was what I wanted to do, was to volunteer drafting that note on behalf of the SCI, and I can send it to the list, and you guys can look it over. But the basic idea is, we're in testing. we have created this link. And so what I need to do is go into Question Pro and essentially copy the survey into a new area, title it Thick Who Is, and maybe put the word test in it or something along those lines. And then I'll create a draft memo short. Is it from Ron to Mikey or Mikey to the working group, or do you want two email messages?
This is Mikey. I think it would be fine if you just made it from Ron or the committee to me, and then I can just forward it to the working group with a little sort of endorsement in front of it. That would be fine. I don't think there's any reason to do two.
That makes sense to me, too.
For one thing, it would have capital letters in it, and people wouldn't think it was me.
Okay, very good. So that's settled then. Ken, thank you very much for taking on that extra task. And again, thank you on behalf of the committee. It's been fine work. Everyone is very pleased with it. I certainly am myself. So thank you for that. So we will now move on to number four, resubmitting a motion. And Julie just had submitted or sent something around to us all yesterday. And pointed out that the questions from Marika have been answered except for the last question. And as we have Marika on the call, I wonder if you might just flesh out what issue is outstanding in your mind so we have a clear picture of it, Marika.
Yeah, so this is Marika. Now, I think it may have already been addressed, if I understand correctly, how you've currently worded, because I think it basically says that it needs to be submitted by the second before the second Unisoc Council meeting, following the meeting when the motion was first submitted, because as you may be aware, the PDP manual actually has a specific provision that deals with reconsideration of the initiation of a PDP. So if that has been voted down, there's an option to actually have a vote on initiation of the PDP that basically needs to take place at the next subsequent Unisoc Council meeting. So basically the question is, does that trump the requirements that you're trying to propose of saying by the second meeting? So would an additional meeting be allowed to have that reconsideration? Or is it considered that a reconsideration of a PDP vote is a different thing and basically has its own requirement? I think that's basically what we're trying to get clarification on. And based on that, because as I understand, I think this language still needs to be translated into a provision that can be included in the operating procedures, we can then make sure that those sections align and it's clear what applies in the case of either a general reconsideration or in the case of a reconsideration of a vote on initiation of a PDP.
Let me ask you a question, Marika, and then I'll take Julie. I see her hand is up. Do you see with the current language we have now that it could be easily tweaked to resolve the aligning issue that you brought up, or do you believe we need more language in here to clarify that?
Well, this is Marika. I think the main question for you is whether you want to expand the current provision on reconsideration of a PDP vote to also allow the second meeting, because basically the current PDP manual says that it needs to be at the next subsequent meeting, so immediately following the first vote, while I think now with your proposed language, you're actually suggesting that it needs to happen by the second meeting. So it would give people a meeting more. So basically the question is it the intention that for this specific provision in relation to a PDP vote, you also have two meetings to redo the vote? Or are you saying it applies for resubmission of motions except for initiation of a PDP vote, where it can only be done at the next, or it has to be done at the next subsequent meeting, and there's no further extension of that? I think that's what I'm trying to get clarification on, and based on what your feedback is, I think we can build that in either by saying there needs to be a change as well to the language of the PDP manual to know that it needs to be, before the, I think this, but the language is a second subsequent meeting, or whether the provision dealing with resubmission of motions basically says this does not apply to the reconsideration of a vote on the initiation of a PDP, which is addressed in this specific section of the GNSR operating procedures.
Thank you, Marika. Julie, please.
I just wanted to note that it's actually the second bullet, and I've synced the document in the Adobe Connect window that had not been addressed. But I agree with Marika. I think you have to decide, well, the issues that she raised on the third bullet, but then you'll note the second bullet where there is the question about a counselor may appeal a denial what I have up here. Any counselor may appeal the denial and request that GNSO counsel hold a renewed vote on the initiation of the PDP. And I see that actually I'm wrong. Marika was talking about the second bullet. I don't think we talked about the second bullet extensively in the last meeting, which is why I had not captured a note as to how that was addressed.
Thank you very much. Okay, so if I understand this correctly, well, the issue really is about whether a counselor can come back and object to the denial. And it is something that I don't recall, quite frankly, where we kind of ended up on that. I don't think we even got to the meat of it, as you just said. But I do believe that we all agreed that two meetings was the right time frame. So unless anyone disagrees with that, I think that we said, maybe not right after the meeting right after, but give someone time, but within two meetings. And I think we all came to an agreement on that. Does anyone disagree with that statement?
I'm sorry, can you say that? It's Anne with IPC. Can you say that again?
Yes, Anne. So what Marika was describing was the time frame within which a PDP could be brought back to the table again, and we had suggested that the following meeting was our original thinking, but then as we discussed in more detail, I think we all settled on the fact that the first meeting after might be a little short time, so the second meeting after the motion had been proposed, it had to happen within that time frame. So either the first or the second, but no later than after the second meeting. So the third meeting, it could not be resubmitted. That's my understanding.
Let me just comment that after receiving, again, this is Anne on behalf of IPC, after receiving Julie's email yesterday, I put the draft that Julie submitted to the IPC, to the full membership, and can't express any agreement with respect to the thing that you just mentioned on behalf of IPC until I receive feedback from the IPC and leadership about what the current draft says.
Thank you, Anne. Understood. Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Basically, if we would follow that line, I think it would be a minor tweak to the existing language, because basically you could then just change it in saying that, and requested the GNSO Council hold a new vote on the initiation of the PDP no later than the second meeting after the motion was initially submitted. And maybe to Anne's point, what maybe be the next step for staff is to work with legal maybe to translate what we currently have based on the notes and the discussion that we've had to turn this into potential language that can be introduced in the GNSO operating procedures, and we can then also identify what may be the appropriate section to include that, and then use that as the next step for the SCI to review that language for you all to be able to go back to your stakeholder group and constituencies to indeed see if that reflects the feedback that has been received to date. And once, indeed, there is agreement on that is, indeed, the approach to take forward, then the next step, again, is to take it for public comment and have community input before it gets sent up to the GNSO Council for consideration. So that may be an approach as well in making sure that you have some time to consult with your respective groups and for us to translate this into actual language that can get inserted into the GNSO operating procedures.
Ron, it's Anne. I'm not able still to get into Adobe Connect, but I would like to raise my hand, and I don't know if there's a queue.
Please go ahead. Mikey will follow you. Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, it's Anne with IPC. On the question of adopting something and putting it out for public comment. I note that Marika, first of all, said that we may want to have legal rewrite this. I'm not actually sure why legal would rewrite it in this case, where we had, you know, on with respect to other issues, not sent those to the legal department. I'm wondering about whether we should be sending stuff to the legal department before the GNSO Council itself has, you know, decided how to act on the recommendation, and whether that's, you know, the appropriate process. But secondly, I think that where we are currently under the STI charter, and this will bring in, you know, charter issues, is that we are still operating on a full consensus requirement. And as previously mentioned in connection with issue of resubmission of a motion, I think there are two issues there. One is, you know, Mikey had commented that he thought that resubmission of a motion is outside the current SCI charter. So I think there's a question, you know, do we think we've been formally, you know, told that we are able to act with respect to resubmission of a motion is one question. The second question in relation to charter is the issue of full consensus that I'm sure we'll get to in connection with the next discussion. And as previously commented in more than one meeting of SCI, the IPC does not agree, based on its full meeting that was held in Beijing, it does not agree to the inclusion of Condition 3.
All right, Anne, thank you very much. And Condition 3 says, require a seconder of the motion from each house as a prerequisite for placing the resubmission of the motion on the consent agenda, just for the record. I have a response, but I'll turn the floor to Mikey first, please. Thank you for waiting, Mikey.
No, why don't you go ahead, Ron, because I was going to take us in a little different direction. So if you've got a response to Ian, I think it's better to do that now.
Thank you very much. And I see Marika's hands up, so I'll come back to Marika right after I finish. I think that the issue is, if you go and look at the transcripts from the meeting, Durban meeting, the wrap-up session, the chair of the GNSO Council and others had said that they see a very important role for the SCI to go forward, and that, yes, they want to get the charter revised accordingly so that we can continue to act. So I think that for the purposes of this discussion, as we had started the resubmitting of a motion work some six or seven months ago, perhaps longer, we really should complete the work. So my view is that we should perhaps send it to, I like Marika's suggestion that we send it to legal just to make sure that if they're trying to harmonize the way these different elements work together, make sure that legal has a look at it before we then start submitting it in case there's any changes that come back because of some legal rationale for having to make a change. So I'm kind of leaning that way. But Marika, perhaps I'll let you speak and then come back to Mikey.
Yeah, this is Marika. Just, you know, first of all, maybe to agree with Ron, like, this is an issue that was requested by the council. And as Ron said, you know, the council has reconfirmed that they see the SEI as a standing committee that they can you know, push issues forward to. And they haven't indicated that this is no longer a concern. So I think from that perspective, you know, the SEI is tasked to look at this issue and come back with a response to the GNSO Council. In relation to my comment on working with legal, it's not as much to put this and have their approval. It's not at all in that direction I was going. It was more that as the language as it currently stands, it's basically three bullet points. It's not written as, it's more the principle. So the idea would be that as to make it fit with the operating procedures, to actually translate that into language that would fit with the existing operating procedures and actually identify where that place would be. And we typically work with, you know, our legal department in getting that language right, as, you know, we're not lawyers, or most of us are not lawyers on the policy team, but it's not a question of, you know, getting their approval or sign-off, but just being able to put something in front of you that fits with the operating procedures and maybe language that can be considered, of course, allowing you all room to further tweaks or amendments. However, noting Anne's objection to the third point, maybe there needs to be a little bit more discussion before we actually start translating this into kind of provision to really make sure that we actually have agreement on what that provision needs to look like. So, I've missed some of the previous meetings, so I'm not really sure how and how much detail that point three was discussed, but maybe it requires a little bit more conversation if now it turns out there's no agreement on the third point, or maybe it's only the first two items that then need to be included in any kind of provision.
Thank you.
Yes, it's Anne again. If I could get in the queue.
Go ahead, Anne. Please respond.
Yes, Anne with IPC, and I think Marika is correct in her observation regarding the last point that it should not go to legal until there's full consensus, because I think we are still operating on full consensus. I don't personally have an issue with the scope of this work. Was only raising it because Mikey had raised it before. So I'm not trying to argue that we should not be doing this work. I'm just raising it to give Mikey the opportunity to comment with respect to the consensus issue. That is a comment that I have, that I don't think we are operating on anything other than full consensus, and I believe that it would be premature. And I know that these comments are quite clear in previous recordings of GNSOSCI that, I have zero authority to agree to Condition 3 on behalf of IPC. So I believe it would be, as Marika says, premature to send this to legal.
I'm inclined to agree, and I thank you for bringing that back to our attention, that there was a problem with number 3 for the IPC. That's something that has escaped my mind. So I'm going to recommend that we put this onto the agenda for the next meeting and pick it up immediately after the approval of the agenda. And in the meantime, ask if we can have a conversation on the list as to the merits of number 3. I think this was put in to try to make to be a hurdle, if you will, for people to resubmit, and that was part of the rationale behind it, to make it a little more difficult for motions to be resubmitted. But, again, something we need to discuss further. I'm going to go to Mikey, and then we're going to move on to the next agenda item. Mikey, please. Thank you for being patient.
Oh, sure. I think this is good discussion. The thought I had as this unfolded is that it dawned on me that we've sort of got three parallel processes at work here that we may want to step back one step and take a look at. We've got the PDP manual, we've got the operating procedures, and then presumably this work that we were drafting is a third leg, and it seems like we would want to take a look at how those three different things interact, see if there's some value in making them consistent. It seems to me that we could get into a situation where the person running the GNSO council meeting would have to know whether would have to follow one set of rules if it was a vote on or a reconsideration of a PDP, another set of rules if it was in the operating manual scope, and another set of rules if it was falling in the scope of whatever we're drafting. And that seems mighty complicated. So I'm just thinking that in addition to noodling through the item 3 issue, we might want to also just step back and see if we could come up with something that sort of unifies all this stuff so that we don't have, so we have something a little bit less complex. In terms of the scope issue, I'm going to sort of save all that for the rechartering discussion, and I don't think that there's a showstopper either way from my vantage point on that. I haven't talked to Wolf Urich about it, but I wouldn't put a lot of worry into that concern that I've got. I think that's more derived from the fluid state of our charter right now. Thanks.
Thanks, Mikey. Also, I'd point you to the chat. Marika posted a couple of things in there that you may or may not have seen. Julie, please, you speak, and then we'll move on to the next topic.
Yeah, just very briefly, this is Julie Headland, and to address Mikey's comment, and Marika has some comments in the chat as well, but we are really only talking about one set of changes, and those set of changes would be in the GNSO operating procedures. The operating procedures include the PDP manual, and they include the working group guidelines, so there really is only one place that changes would be generated based on what the SEI and the GNSO Council decides with respect to procedures addressing the resubmission of a motion. So there really is only one place that these changes will be made, and they will be consistent.
Thank you, Julie. And for Anne, for your benefit, what Julie just summarized was what was in the chat with a little bit more depth. So thank you for that. All right, then we'll then pick this up, this point number three on the list, and if Julie would send around a message noting that this is an issue for IPC and that we all need to look at this more closely, determine whether or not we feel strongly we need to push on this to see if we keep it or we remove it. Now, moving on to the next item, the SCI charter revision. This, as we all know, has been... We've been working on this for some time, trying to figure out the best way forward. In Durban, I brought it to the attention of the GNSO Council because they are the charting organization for our mandate. And there were a couple of questions that were brought up there that were, in my view, important. One was whether or not we continue or not, because this is a question Mikey's been asking, and it's been a valid question. And the second was, under what basis should we be operating? So I brought those to the attention of the GNSO Council. They took it up to a certain extent on their wrap-up meeting in Durban. And as Julie sent around, pages 52 to 59 kind of flesh out what they discussed at that time. And so as I understand it right now, we are operating on the original mandate until we receive further information from the GNSO Council vis-a-vis what our charter will say. I do not believe the charter determination is in our hands at this point. It's really in their hands. But with that, I'll open the microphone to anyone who would like to make a comment. Mikey, please go ahead.
Thanks, Ron. This is Mikey. Just a couple of things. One, I'm not lobbying that we stop. I'm lobbying that we stop when we're done with what appeared to be our original charter. You know, I would certainly be the first to say, look, we've got plenty of work to do, and it's going to take some time because it takes a while for PDPs to be completed under the new PDP guidelines. So I just want to clarify that. I'm not saying that we stop now. And I'm not even sure that I'm saying where I sit on the wide versus narrow definition of the charter. I think I'm going to reserve that for later. But the other point that I would make is that there were two discussions of this. There was one in the wrap-up that I had. I was running another meeting, so I couldn't be there. But on Saturday, I think, or Sunday, over the weekend, we also had a conversation with the council, and I was able to participate in that. And one of the things that I came away with from that is that I think we could do a better job of framing the question that we're asking them. And it sort of injected that into the conversation and sort of got nods around the room, although it was an informal meeting. It seems to me that what we could do is write sort of a briefing document that lays out the pros and cons of the two approaches or multiple approaches to our charter to help the council make its choice. Was there any discussion of that during the wrap-up, and was that something that was greeted with any enthusiasm? Because I think the problem the council's got is they're sort of shooting in the dark on this. They're not nearly as close to this issue as we are. Probably can't put nearly as fine a set of arguments together as we probably can. So maybe we can help them a bit.
Thank you, Mikey. Julie, you were present for that wrap-up. Do you have any response to Mikey's comment?
Hi, this is Julie. Actually, I was not present for the wrap-up. Marika was there. I did try to summarize the discussion, and Marika can chime in as well, but based on the transcript and the sense is that, number one, I think the council in their discussion did make it clear and seemed to be in agreement that they wanted the SCI to continue as a standing committee, as a group, to address questions that come up relating to the GNSO operating procedures, including PDP manual, including working group guidelines, that are not limited to the improvements implementation, but are related to how those procedures are used and when questions arise. Rika, is there anything that add to that part of the discussion?
Thank you, Julie. Marika, could you tell us if, in fact, you agree with what Mike is suggesting, that we might try to draft something for them, or do you think they have a grasp of it, or what was your take?
Yeah, this is Marika. I agree with what Judy said. I think the council was quite clear, and I think that was across the board. I didn't recall any objection to that, that indeed the SCI should be a standing committee and the charter should be clarified to that, and if it's not clear at this stage, noting, as Judy said, it's not only limited to those recommendations that were specific to the GNSO improvement effort, but also to those issues that maybe weren't part of those but are creating issues now or have been identified as potential gaps. I think that the council is quite clear on that, and I think they expect, with the help of staff and based on the work you have already done to clarify that, a revised charter for their meeting in September. On the other issue of full consensus versus following the working group guidelines, that was an issue that was also quite extensively discussed, and Jeff Newman is actually tasked to provide the GNSO Council with some further historic information on how the SCI came to be a full consensus body. I think a majority of members present actually identified that maybe as a part of an anomaly where indeed that was created at the time because we didn't have the GNSO working group guidelines yet that provide a standard methodology for decision making. And I think at least the sense there was several members expressed support for following the GNSO working group guidelines as that is being done for any effort that's currently going on. But I think David Cake pointed out that there may be specific reasons for why the council should consider a full consensus as the decision-making methodology for the SCI. And where that currently stands is that council members were encouraged to share their views on the council naming this with regard to the voting issue, so that can be considered as part of the discussion, hopefully in September, with regard to a revised charter. And I think at least from a staff perspective, what we can do on that basis is basically provide the two different options, with one having the full consensus option as it currently exists and the other one following the GNSO working group guidelines, standard methods of methodology for making decisions, that the council has those two different charters for consideration and further discussion. And obviously, it's also within the SCI's remit to provide any further feedback that you think may be helpful for the GNSO Council in making its decision, if there is either a joint view or, of course, through your respective stakeholder groups and constituencies. As I said, this is an item where council members have been encouraged to share further views on the mailing. As far as I'm aware, that hasn't happened yet, but I think it's one of the items where hopefully we'll see some further dialogue over the coming weeks.
Thank you, Marika. Aubrey, thank you for your patience. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Ron. Okay, I had a couple of things.
I'm glad to hear that they are recognizing that it is a standing committee and indeed should continue as one. I would actually recommend that we finish the charter changes that we were working on, and we send them a charter, which, of course, they can then discuss and decide on, send back to us, go into discussions. But I think the easiest thing for us to do is to actually finish the charter work that we started and send it on to them. In terms of the issue of it being a standing committee, I think it always has been. I'm glad that it clarified. I think that's something where we confused them by starting to talking about closing the standing committee, and it was almost as if we didn't understand who we were. And I'm glad that they're working through that. As I've pointed out quite emphatically, I think it's a pity that the full consensus issue came up in the way it did. I don't want to necessarily take that further unless it's needed to, but the way it came up as a chair's indication of an issue within the group, I did think was rather inappropriate. But that having been the case, the issue is now on their table. And one of the things that I think we have to remember, and I think that, you know, we need to point out to them, is that the rules changes we make or we recommend, they vote on by 50% plus. We could recommend to them that on a 50% plus vote, they change one of the 60% plus votes that don't happen to be in the bylaws but are only in the working group documents. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I continue to press the point that the only way a standing committee like this can work is if we come to full agreement on any changes we propose. Thank you.
Thank you, Aubrey. Mikey, please go ahead.
Thanks, Ron. This is Mikey. I'm just curious, was there anybody from the SCI at the wrap-up meeting that sort of was arguing the case, or was the council sort of free-running on this thing?
If you look at the transcript, it says, pardon me, from page 52 to 59, it was kind of, I would follow the free-running example that you've noted. Wolf Ulrich, of course, was there, but unfortunately he's not with us today to give us any indication.
Yeah, I think that if I then add on a little bit to Avery's idea, I think that we could do them a lot of good by continuing to bash away on the charter that's on our table. The one that is in front of us, can't tell which version this is.
This is the most latest version that you had sent, like, as I understand it.
I don't think this is.
This is Julie, sorry to break in, but it's not Mikey's version. The council said that they wanted the SCI to work on a charter, or wanted the charter to reflect the SCI as a standing committee, this is actually the version that the charter drafting team had developed and that was discussed by the SCI prior to Mikey's changes that changed the scope of the charter. So I went back to prior to Mikey's version.
Thank you.
Yeah, okay, so that's helpful. Thanks, Julie. I think that what we probably need to do is take another run at this, given our new instructions. And because I think this one, what got me going on this is that this particular draft is a little bit confusing. And so I think knowing what we know now, we might want to take another run at this draft with the goal of continuing as a standing committee
cetera, et cetera, and then maybe prepare a cover memo that sort of outlines the issues that we were grappling with so that they have a little bit more of the background, which was what I was lobbying for on Saturday, but they also, I like Aubrey's idea that they have a working draft. I think it's going to be pretty tough for them to revise our charter on their own. They're not nearly as close to it as we are.
Ron, it's Ann. May I raise my hand on this one?
Please, Ann. Sure. Mike, I beg your pardon. Mike, are you finished?
Sure.
Yeah. Ann, please go ahead.
Yes, it's Ann with IPC. I agree with the remarks made both by Mikey and by Avery in connection with trying to help inform the council of some of the viewpoints within SCI. Mikey's talking about continuing work on the charter, and I think that's we should do that, and we should try to get it more finalized and get it into a form that we hope is a consensus recommendation. And Mikey's talking about doing a cover letter to that recommendation that outlines some of the issues in which I'm sure he'll probably want to raise, potential issues regarding scope. I think it might also be appropriate to raise in that cover letter the issue that Avery has raised in connection with what's the substantive difference between, or what are the pros and cons of reaching full consensus versus going with the working group form of consensus. I know that from staff's point of view, they describe the full consensus within SCI as a quote-unquote anomaly. I'm not sure that that's really how the full SCI sees the issue. I tend to agree that when the issue was raised at GNSO Council meeting, that the alternate view of full consensus was not presented either by the chair or by staff or by anyone there. And I would suggest that it behooves SCI to brief council on those issues as well as the issues that Mikey is raising.
Thank you, Ann. We're coming up to the hour, and I see Marika's hands up. So, Marika, I'll come to you in a second. The thought that was going through my head was whether it would make, now that we've sort of opened the Pandora's box within the council, and they are working on this to a certain extent, the question that was going through my mind is whether I should send a note to Jonathan Robinson, the chair of the council, and ask him if he would like us to continue to do this or give him some pros and cons. So Mike had two ideas there. One was just work on the charter now from this revision of 10 January that we're looking at, or two, send the pros, cons of different things we're looking at to kind of get them up to speed. So the thought is that we can do something immediately because we're going to be working now. We'll have another meeting in a month, and with Labor Day weekend and so forth in the United States, we'll lose a lot of people, so we'll probably have to push it into the second week of September or so. And at that point, that's 6 weeks from now or 5 weeks from now, maybe. I'm just thinking that if we push a note to Jonathan and ask how he'd like us to proceed, we might get some quicker direction. Marika, please go ahead.
This is Marika. Just to note, I think indeed what is not currently on there that you already worked on, I'm wondering how much still needs to be changed there, because it seems that the major issue that's still remaining is on the voting. And I just wanted to point out, because I think Anne said that no one represents the other view, I think that's not correct. I think actually David Tate presented the full consensus view and why from his perspective.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry, Mick. I meant no one from SCI.
Oh, okay. So I think if there's any specific feedback that SCI as a whole can present to the council on that issue that may help inform their discussions, I think that would be really helpful. I think Ivory's suggestion of maybe considering having a different voting threshold apply is a possible alternative, although it's worth pointing out that would require a change to the bylaws. Another approach you may consider is saying that, of course, in the GNSO Working Group guidelines, you have different levels of consensus. One thing you may want to consider is saying that only consensus recommendations are presented to the GNSO. It would lower a little bit the full consensus notion, but at least you still operate under the basis of consensus, which I think is what most groups try to achieve, although they also have the ability to have the other options with, you know, strong support, significant opposition, to present that as well to the council, and the council takes a decision on what to do with that. But maybe another way to look at it is considering, you know, that the charter would require only consensus recommendations per the definitions in the GNSO working group guidelines. Another way of looking at it. But again, I think one of the things you probably should be doing indeed is communicate with the council leadership on what the next step should be, because at least from a staff perspective, I think we've been instructed to get this issue on the agenda for consideration in September, including a revised charter, and for the council to further discuss the issue of the decision-making methodology item. So.
Yeah, and Ron, I think actually with respect to, and it's Anne again with IPC, I think that we should likely be telling the council that that SCI wishes to provide its views and outline its views for the council's consideration, as opposed to saying, hey, should we do this? And then they say, no, we don't really need for you to, which is also, you know, a possible outcome. Now, if they say, no, we don't really want your views, that's also fine. That's their prerogative. But it strikes me that as much discussion as this has had in connection with both the scope question of the mission and in connection with the full consensus versus some other form of consensus, that we should advise council that we wish to have further discussion of it and to provide the views to them.
This is Aubrey. Can I correct something that was misunderstood or I misspoke?
Aubrey, go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. I was not recommending that we change the threshold for bylaws changes in the council. What I was doing was trying to make an argument that said, since operating procedure changes by majority vote, we could recommend by a majority vote something would change a supermajority condition. For example, we could recommend that by a majority vote, they decide to elect chairs by a majority vote instead of 60%. I was using that as an explanation of why we should remain full consensus and not muck about with it. I was not recommending that we change the threshold vote for operating procedure changes. Sorry, I wasn't clear.
Ron, I'm sorry, it's Anne again. I am 5 minutes late for another conference call. I don't know where we can go from here, but if there's a letter to be written to council, I certainly recommend that it be, you know, we ask council for the opportunity to provide our views on both scope and on the consensus issue. And I apologize, but I do have to get off because there are many other people on this other conference call that I have to go to.
Thank you, Anne. And I'm going to pick up right from there. And so go ahead and drop off. You'll see on the list
thanks.
How we proceed.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
So thank you, everyone, for staying on the extra 6 minutes. I thought we might have a little more time, but as always, we get into deep discussion, and it's good discussion, so thank you all. I'm going to ask if Julie might prepare a draft letter and send it over so we can kind of nail down, prepare a draft letter from me to Jonathan, which kind of outlines the things that have been discussed on this call today. We can all wordsmith it on the list to make sure that we're satisfied that it's actually a statement that we all agree upon. And we'll get that over to Jonathan as quickly as possible so that he can bring it into council and or send us back a note as to how he'd like us to proceed. And if there's no disagreement with that.
This is Julie. I can do that. However, I did not necessarily hear a consensus on what that letter should contain, so I'm not really quite sure. I mean,
okay.
As it stands, it would have a couple of different options in it, and then I guess people would have to decide, because I've heard one that would say, ask the council whether or not the SCI should continue to work on making changes in the charter, and another saying that the SCI should state that it wants to continue to make changes to the charter. So I'm not exactly sure which direction I should go in drafting this.
Thanks, Julie. I would suggest let's go in the direction that the SCI, being as close as we are to our work, would like to have input on the development of the charter. If the council feels that would be of value to them, And if so, then please give us that instruction so we will get started on that so that we can be of assistance to the council in helping to get that charter refined as quickly as possible.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone disagree with that direction? Okay. So hearing none, we'll pick up more of this conversation on the list. Thank you all for the ones of you who were able to join us today, particularly Edward and Nuno. I hope that it was of value for you to sit in. The SCI is a very interesting animal. As you see, we take long looks at things, and that's basically the nature of us. Thank you all for taking the extra 8 minutes, and look forward to speaking with you on the list. We can.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Ron. It's Mikey. Bye.
Thanks, Mikey. Bye-bye.